And welcome back. How was everyone's break? Terrific. Wonderful. So now that the room has filled in a bit more, I wanted to take everyone through the binder. All right? I don't know that Aaron went through this. The first part of the binder is all about the delegate training. And she was... He took you through all those pages, correct? Correct. So now, what lurks behind that first section? And we have the Board of Trustees. Happily, this program evolves, and this section evolves. In the last ABCs, this section was kind of empty. This year, we are treating you to a listing of the board members. They are listed here, and we're going to deal with those members tomorrow when we are asking for the delegation to ratify the members for the coming year. After that, there's a hierarchical structure of ACA. In past years, we've had a organizational chart. Sadly, last year, half of it didn't print, so it was only half of the chart was on the page. So this year, we decided rather than being corporate normative, we would list things in a different way. And you can see here the ACA fellowship as of very recently, the number of meetings that are registered, including telephone groups and online meetings. Regions and intergroups are listed. Then we have a listing of the staff. We have someone?
Yeah. Yes, I have a question. Can you let us know what page you're on? I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I lost my place.
Thank you, 34. So we're in the second section. The delegate binders here in Sweden have cardboard dividers. So behind divider number two is a section called Board of Trustees, and it outlines information about WSO and who is actually staffing it. And then after the board members are mentioned, it mentions the committees of the board. And there's a couple of pages outlining committees and subcommittees. So it's kind of interesting to see the work that we're actually doing and how it is structured. After that, the next section behind the next cardboard divider is the annual reports. We will be getting to that later in the morning. Beyond that, the following section is the ballot proposals. How many people here were involved in the voting within their group or intergroup on whether or not a proposal should be presented? Oh, I am seeing for you at home, I see about maybe 60% of the people have voted in this process. And this is the result of the votes. We have two proposals, and we will get to that this afternoon. The next divider, new literature and special presentations. So tomorrow, we're going to be looking at some of the new literature and some information from the literature committee. Now we're around page 94, 95. These are the front pages of the recent yellow workbook translations that have been printed. All right. And then there's some more information. Page 104, a special presentation from the Service Structure Committee, and that also will be tomorrow. All right, so presently we have those two presentations planned. After that, behind the next cardboard divider, we have foundational documents. All Right. Has anyone heard the term OPPM mentioned today? Yeah, I see no hands. Carol, thank you. That's a hand. So the OPPM, it's all here. And this is the latest version. It's our policy. We're now on page 109, 110. At 111, there's a table of contents, right? And so that includes all the information on how our organization operates today. A month from now, it might be tweaked. This is a living document. As we have new programs and new policies, it will be updated. All right. Behind the next divider, the minutes from last year's meeting, and behind the final divider, the treasurer's report. And that's pretty much what I wanted to bring you up to date on. There was also something about lunch. Yes, Frederick, you had wanted me to mention that lunch is down the hall and up a stair if you're pre-registered for lunch. Number 5. If you have a 5 on your name, you are. And if someone decides right now that they don't have a 5 but they want to go to lunch, can they do that? Do you think? If someone wants to go to lunch but they do not have a 5, we might be able to get you fed with the group. Definitely, there's food here in Sweden. With that, I'm gonna. Yeah, there would be a cost incurred, but it's a matter of whether or not there's room. Okay. I think that's all I wanted to say. Mary Jo is gonna come up. And one other thing, and Aaron might have done this, but could all the people that are on the board or about to leave the board, could you stand, please? Could any committee chair people stand, please? And any special workers in the room? Okay, so the people that are standing presently, and that includes me, we are involved in WSO, and if you want to become involved in WSO, or if you have questions about WSO, you can talk to any one of us, either today or tomorrow, and we will be around on the weekend as well. All right? Thank you very much. Very much.
Good morning, and thank you for being here. Gomoran tak for up ni air hair. Did I get that close? I tried. I hope it wasn't too far off. My name is Mary Jo, and I'm the current board chair, and I am very happy to be here and very happy to welcome you all. Before I say anything, I lost my phone.
Have it.
Okay, I can breathe again. Like many of us, my life is in my phone, everything that I have. So I want to ask for a moment of silence before we say the Serenity Prayer, please. This is the traditional Serenity Prayer for those in the States. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. We will read the traditions, which have already been done during training, but there are people in the room who weren't here during that training process. So what page in the training section? That's the first tab. And it is on page 9 for those who want to follow along. Okay, thank you. Okay. Tradition 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on ACA unity. Tradition 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as expressed in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Tradition 3, the only requirement for membership in ACA is a desire to recover from the effects of growing up in an alcoholic or otherwise dysfunctional family. Tradition 4, each group is autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or ACA as a whole. We cooperate with all other 12-step programs. Tradition 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the adult child who still suffers. Tradition 6, an ACA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the ACA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. And I have to say, whoever, I don't recall who said it during our mock proposal and motion, but the idea that Kleenex was an outside enterprise was so good. And if you weren't here, you'll have to ask somebody who was. Tradition 7, every ACA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Tradition 8, adult children of alcoholics should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Tradition 9, ACA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Tradition 10, adult children of alcoholics has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the ACA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Tradition 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, TV, films, and other public media. And tradition 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. And then the next thing, the commitment to service is page 8. Could I have a volunteer to go up to the microphone there and read the commitment to service on page 8?
Dominic, ACA. The ACA commitment to service. I perform service so that my program will be available for myself, and through those efforts, others may benefit. I will perform service and practice my recovery by 1, affirming that the true power of our program rests in the membership of the meetings and is expressed through our higher power and through group conscience. 2, confirming that our process is one of inclusion and not exclusion, showing special sensitivity to the viewpoint of the minority in the process of formulating the group conscience so that any decision is reflective of the spirit of the group and not merely the vote of the majority. 3, placing principles before personalities. 4, keeping myself fit for service by working my recovery as member of the program. 5, striving to facilitate a sharing of experience, strengths, and hope at all levels, meetings, intergroups, regional committees, service boards, and world services. 6, accepting the different forms and levels of service and allowing those around me to each function according to their own abilities. 7, remaining willing to forgive myself and others for not performing perfectly. 8, being willing to surrender the position in which I serve in the interest of unity and to provide the opportunity for others to serve, to avoid problems of money, property, and prestige, and to avoid losing my own recovery through the use of service to act out my old behavior, especially in taking care of others, controlling, rescuing, being a victim, etc. 9, remembering I'm a trusted servant, I do not govern.
Thank you. Next thing is the daily meditation from our Strengthening My Recovery meditation book that is our own conference-approved meditation book. April 25th. Unless there's someone else who has it in front of them, I will read it. I have it on my phone as an ebook. You can also get it as a daily email. Okay. So just so everybody knows, besides buying the book itself. Okay, thank you.
Okay, Dahlia, ACA Israel. April 25th, own person. I became stranger, sorry, I need my glasses. there we go. I became stronger as a result of the efforts I made to protect my inner child, and because of the strength he gives to me when we now work together, we are both flourishing. BRB, page 399. When we were honest, we realized that we had never taken a clean action in our lives. This is when we started to move beyond denial and walk in integrity. We recognized that our behavior had been tainted by the lessons learned in our childhood. Although some good followed us, we needed a fearless inventory to find out and separate what we did not need for the rest of our journey. We did this with the help of a sponsor or co-sponsor and the yellow workbook. We gained strength through due diligence. We slogged through the early days of pain, trusting we would one day act with true autonomy. We saw our way through perfectionism to the other side. We were showing up for life, however imperfectly, even when we felt less than. Our future began to unfold, unfettered by the desires of other people. We were no longer tied to our abusers. Like a butterfly from its cocoon, we finally were emerging as our own person. We never knew this level of feeling existed, and we welcomed these changes. As we became more willing to fight for our lives, we understood that we had value deep inside of us all along. It had been calling out in the dark for us to hear and see. On this day, I will embrace my inner truth and my inner child. I am my own person.
Thank you. I want to, again, express gratitude on behalf of the board that so many of you are here, that I see a lot of familiar faces from past ABCs, and I see a lot of new faces that I hope to get to know over the next few days. This will be mentioned more tomorrow, but I will be leaving the board after 6.5 years, and I am immensely grateful for having had this opportunity to serve the fellowship. I'm not going away, I'm just changing. I just want to mention, I was asked to remind us that the food out on the in that area is not for us. Please do not take any of the food. No matter who we are not entitled to it. Even my inner child is not entitled to that food. So, without further ado, I am going to turn the proceedings over to our chair after I ask if we are all in agreement to ratify Greg as the conference chair. Can I have a show of hands to ratify Greg R. from Texas? Actually, show of paddles. Thank you. Okay. Is there anyone opposed? All right. Thank you, Greg. We place our confidence in you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Jo. And really grateful for all the work that you've done for WSO and for ACA. Welcome. And greetings to board members and to all the delegates, both in the room and on the line. This is a remarkable new step in ACA history, that we can have people who can't make it to the ABC participating remotely. This is a big deal for any organization, and particularly for one that is all composed of volunteers. My name is Greg R. I am an adult child, and I'm gratefully in recovery from that. I look forward to being of service as our conference chair. You all have made a huge commitment to be here, and I really intend to honor that commitment as we go through here. I do remind you that I am not your loving parent, I'm not your critical parent, and I will do my best to stay out of those old behaviors. So, you can certainly challenge me at any point outside the room and say, you know. So, anyway, we're going to do our best, and I ask you to do your best to start and end each session on time. We are a little ahead, and we hope to stay ahead. When we take breaks, please use the buddy system. And the buddy system isn't necessarily that you team up with somebody, but if you're out there and you see that somebody is carrying away in a conversation, just say, hey, we're starting back up again. Don't do that a second after we're supposed to be starting up, but if you see people out there, invite them to come back in. If they don't come in, they don't come in. That's okay. But it's just that we get carried away, particularly those of us that have seen each other many times over the years, and we don't get to see each other on a regular basis. You know, we want to talk and get together. So, you know, invite people gently back into the room. There is a service opportunity table at this meeting, this conference. And Jody O from Texas will be with one of these things. And we have information on the various committees, and including the board and the nominating committee and all the other committees here. And feel free to stop by. We encourage you to think about service, as was stated earlier. And when we, just a minute, Jim, I'll get to you, I see you. When you have the opportunity, stop by the table, and there's an ability to sign up in an electronic form to participate in any of the committees, and we can contact you. The committee will contact you. All right, Jim, there was something from.
Yes, a point of order. We do have remote voters, So whenever we're taking a vote, please give us consideration and ask us if we have any comments as well, even though some of the votes are formalities. We do love to be seen and heard.
Will do.
So thank you.
All right. Thank you for that. Oh, you've got to talk into the microphone.
Hi. Now that I'm sitting up front, I notice there are some empty spaces. If there's anyone in back who is in particular a delegate and would like a table to write on, there's two empty tables on both each side, and there's some empty chairs in front. So you're welcome to move forward if you'd like.
Okay, I'm going to rescind that we're ahead of time. Okay, I'll move fast, pretty quickly through what I have. So some of what I have will be repeated later, so just to remind you, but I want to scope it out right now. First of all, the end times today and tomorrow are set. We can't go past them. Tomorrow in particular, we have no facility, not even a side room, to continue discussions after 5 o'clock. Today at 5:30, there will be a bus. There are many people in here who've paid for an activity, and there will be a bus outside to pick people up at 5:30. So we can't go past 5 o'clock. Is there a question back there? Okay. On the wall, you'll see some handwritten notes, and these are about, in other organizations that I work with, there are things called group norms. And we didn't have time to actually do something. Usually what we do is we discuss what we want to do, how we want to act toward each other, and how we want to facilitate accomplishing what we're going to do. Now, I just put some possibles up on the wall. What you can do is, during breaks, look at those. Don't scratch through any of them. But if you like them, that means either you want someone to treat you that way, or you in particular find that that's something you want to work on, put a star on there. And don't adjust the size of the star so that your star is bigger than anybody else's star, you know. Just look at it, and then through the course of the day, notice what's important to the people that are in here. And if there are some of them that have sub-bullets, and you could put a couple others up, but don't put a lot up on the wall, all right, because usually just a few of them make an impact. That's just a little exercise. It's not all that important, but it's about getting to know who you are as a group. So in the discussions, first of all, I want to address the question about reconsideration, and I came to the realization what we have are two different situations. We call reconsideration something that isn't even in Robert's Rules of Order. Reconsideration where we have a minority report, because in Robert's Rules of Order, a minority report would be such as, we have a report from this conference, and the minority comes back and says, we don't approve that, and we want to write a minority amendment or an appendix to that. Right? Then you can do something. However, what we do is we have a minority report on an individual basis for things that we vote on if there are enough people that voted in opposition to the majority. So that's not even covered under Robert's Rules. What we will do is we will, if we have someone who wants to change their vote because of what the minority has reported, if somebody in the majority wants to change their vote, then we will say, okay, we will take a vote at that time. We will automatically assume that as a motion and seconded. So it'll be very quick, and we'll find out if things have changed or if they haven't. The other thing is reconsideration is at any point in time during the conference, somebody can say, I move that we reconsider a decision we made previously, and that we'll deal with when we get to it. In general, we're going to rotate through three cues. You saw we'll have two mics. When we're discussing things, we'll have the remote as equivalent to a third mic, and I'll just rotate through them, picking on whoever's next. You'll have 2 minutes per delegate, as we've covered earlier, after everybody's spoken. If the discussion continues, then each delegate who spoke will get one additional two-minute period. You don't have to take that, okay? Yeah, and certainly if you're just going to repeat what you or somebody else said, please don't do that. You know, we believe you, and we're trying our best to hear what everybody's saying. On motions from the floor, I'm treating those separately from a transition from one of the two proposals to a motion. Proposals from the floor are either proposed by the committees, which are what we're expecting, or we're not expecting others. Please, as much as possible, there's a link on the website, the main acawso.org website. There's a place where you can click to submit a motion, and please do it that way. That way we have it in writing, we can understand it and display it. And in the rationale, please establish any case for time sensitivity. We will only get to time sensitive ones in here. We will vote on each one of those. And since we're short on time right now, I've run out of time, I'll talk about those more when we get to them, if we get to them. All right. Talked about reconsideration. Oh, all non-time sensitive motions from the floor will be referred to the board for future consideration. Won't be dealt with here. And that's pretty much it. Okay, so I think we're ready to move. Did you have something? Oh, yeah. Okay, so when we're doing sharing, we have a timer. Ann R., where are you, Ann? Oh, there we are. And she has two paddles. She's holding them up now. One says that you have 30 seconds remaining, and the other one says time's up. So that'll give you a clue that your time is up. okay. And then we have the pleasure of two secretaries up here. We have Jim R. that you've already met, and Marge, who is not a member of ACA, but is sitting in and doing us a service. Appreciate that. Yeah. So at some point in time, you may get a stop, because that's not to cut you off as much as it is to that there's something that the secretaries need to record and they're not caught up with you. So please honor that. And that was the only sign you've got, right? You don't have anything else. Okay.
No, but Jim has one in the back.
Yeah.
He's empowered.
Jim is empowered in the back. I think I already covered that. He's gonna give me signals. It's not so much signals to all of you. Okay. And of course, I can't see it, but I know what it says, so that's okay. I see a white thing there with colored letters. They're either green or blue. I can't tell. Okay, super. Thank you very much, all of you, for your forbearance on getting started here. So now, the first thing is that the board secretary and the treasurer are going to be presenting the 2018 ABC minutes, and then we'll go into the treasurer's report. So the 2018 ABC minutes, please. And that will be David.
I'm David McBee from Florida and Louisiana. I'm not your secretary. The secretary that came in San Diego on the board with me, Marcia, last year was taken ill and was sick to eat her sweet the whole time. This year she did even better and broke her leg. And we sent her home on a plane. She will do anything to get out of an ABC. I mean, she was rotating off the board, but that's extreme. So be kind to us. We had difficulty last year. We had poor quality recording. We had a secretary who was in bed. And we did the best we could, which sometimes isn't very good, but we are human. We have a thing on the board chat that we do that says we're human, and we often confess up our humanness. So that being said, I serve as the liaison to the office where we keep that running smoothly. I'm a vice chair of literature. I'm like a utility infielder. I kind of go where I'm needed. I'm the incoming vice chair. So if you look at page Well, it's not a page, it's a section. Toward the end, it's the 2018 ACA WSO Annual Business Conference Minutes, and I will not read them to you because I'm not that much of a masochist. However, they are there. What minutes really are is the major points that have been made, the major the votes, minority opinions included, what got carried, what was presented. And we had difficulty, especially in the carryover meeting where we ran out of time, we ran out of the big room, and we're moved into a smaller room. And those meetings were, you know, some handheld notes and some different ways that were inaccurately captured or sparsely captured. So we did the best we could. Marcia did the best she could. She spent a whole ton of hours. I will say that this year we have double the pleasure. We also have it being recorded. So we have in a much better technology. Technology gets better every year if you're lucky. So that's really the gist of where we're at. So these are the reports. Everything that happened last year is in here. If I read them, we would be way out of time, and I'd be out of breath and too nervous. So in regards to that, I would like to ask that these be accepted. Bill. Do I have a second? Barbara Carol C., second. Any discussion? I turn it over to the chair for discussion.
Any discussion?
It's been posted on the website, and it's been posted, so we don't.
The option, it needs to be, we need to have a vote during this conference. And we don't have, we need to have a vote on it. And as a consequence, I recommend that we vote on it now. If there are a number of people that haven't read it, it is in the binder. The alternative, though I don't recommend it, is a motion to table it, which means we will address it later in this conference, which will make different difficulty.
Point of order is that it also would be there is a way to address it again later if we do vote on it now, which I encourage, that there is a way to revisit it later, as Greg mentioned earlier, rather than delay proceedings. Thank you.
That's.
Listen.
All right. Okay. That's actually, I fell into that. That's not what we need to be doing right now. All right. We have a motion on the floor with a second, and the discussion is right now the proposal is that we have time to read it. That's open-ended, but we need to address the motion in that. So any other discussion about the motion?
I would call the vote.
That's not you. Okay, not in this one. Jody? Okay. Do we have a second? Okay, Laura, thank you. All right. And trying to remember, did we discuss this? No, just called the vote. So all in favor? Of voting on the minutes, calling the question is the actual term. All right. Yeah, are you counting? 37. Are you with the green tab? Are you? Oh, 38 then. Okay. Okay, so all opposed to voting at this point in time. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, all right. So we're gonna, are you opposed? What's the remote?
Yeah, so the format I suggest would be you do the yes and the no, and when you're done, because we're voting both at the same time,
right.
I'll give you a yes, no, and abstention tally at the end of the vote.
Great.
And our tally is 4 in favor, 0, no, 0 abstentions.
Okay, so we have 4 in favor, that's 41 in favor, and 4 opposed. And abstain. I'm not asking for abstentions. Pardon? Okay, so how many abstained here? No, we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay.
And correction on the remote vote is now at 7, and I'll be closing the remote voting.
All right, so 7, so that's 44, and 5 abstain, and 4 opposed. All right, motion carries. Let's vote on the motion to approve the minutes of the 2018 ABC. We either have 40 or 41. How many opposed in the room? How many abstain? Ten. Wait,
and
hang on. What was that? No opposed. So we had a total of, hang on, I'm trying to compare to what we had before. So did we have the same total votes? Yeah, that was what I thought. We had more votes on the floor.
And
okay.
Can we include the remote voters?
Sure.
We have 8 in favor, 0 no, 0 abstentions.
Okay. But I think I had 4 additional votes the second time, even though they didn't add up. Yes. Okay, that probably balanced out. Okay, great. Right. I was comparing the two. Okay, so the motion is carried. The minutes from last year are approved. Thank you all. And next we have...
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, David, for stepping up. And Bill D., Treasurer's Report.
The Treasurer's Report. Good morning. My name is Bill D., and I'm an adult child.
Hey, Bill.
And I'm your WSO Board Treasurer. The Treasurer's Report is the very last item that's in the delegate binder. It's behind the last cardboard tab. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. I'm sorry, go back one. I'm looking at my screen telling you next slide, and it's not moving. I'm going to attempt this, but I wrote it down just in case. Jag, eit, et, vuxet, ban, Bill D. Tak, tak. It's my honor to present WSO's Treasurer's Report to the board, to the delegates, and to the guests here today. I hope to get this done within 1.5 hours. The Treasurer's Report is 22 pages long. All of the detail of the report and our financial statements is in this report. I trust that you will read it at your leisure, and I'm not going to read it to you. Next slide, please. Let's begin with the balance sheet. The balance sheet is on page 4. A balance sheet just basically tells us how we're doing at that moment in time. This balance sheet is dated December 31st, so that means that December 31st, 2018, this is our financial standing. As you can see from the next slide, the next slide. Okay. All right. Back up one, please. Whoop, just one. There we go. WSO had current assets of $503,720. We had fixed assets, means equipment, inventory, things like, or equipment, office furniture, and things like that, of $102,714. That also includes our website, the value of our website. Our total assets was $606,434. Next slide, please. Our liabilities and equity. Our liabilities, WSO owed $33,678 at the end of the year. We had the money to pay it. It was just in process of being paid. Our owner's equity, the members' equity in the organization, was $572,756. That includes inventory, book and literature inventory, as well as cash reserves. Our total liabilities and equity was $606,434. Next slide, please. Moving on to the profit and loss statement, which is on page 7. We had Seventh Tradition contributions of $117,011. That's the most Seventh Tradition contributions we've ever received in a single year, and I give much thanks to the fellowship for their self-support. We had sales income and other income of $914,756. Our total revenue for the year was $1,000,000 with $1,031,767. The next slide is our expenses. Okay, our expenses, it cost us $559,194 to publish the books, to print the books, to buy the products that we sell on our website, shopping cart. It cost money to have direct labor involved with that shipping, the shipping charges, everything rolled into it, and the cost of goods sold was $559,194. We had operating expenses and fees for the office and for our warehouses and all the taxes and things like that that we put into it, $471,384. So our total expenses were $1,030,578. Next slide, please. So if our total revenue was $1,031,767, we take away the cost of the literature, $559,194. We take away the operating expenses, $471,384. We had a net income of $1,189. We are a nonprofit organization. Break even is good. We'd like to have a little bit more than break even, but we'll take break even. Our seventh tradition contributions have, this chart shows our seventh tradition contributions. As I mentioned, we had $117,011 in 2018. This is the past 6 years seventh tradition contributions. You can see how they've grown from 2013 through 2018. I think that our awareness issue that that we were looking for seventh tradition contributions, we needed support from the members in the fellowship around the world, really paid off this past year. We're still not self-supporting yet, but we'll get there. Next slide, please. This is an interesting graphic. It just breaks down where the contributions come from by geographic area, mostly by continent. As you can see, the European community is starting to grow in the contributions. I think in the previous years, you've probably doubled what you did in the previous few years. So we're very happy about the European community supporting WSO. And we're investing in you by publishing new literature. Next slide, please. There is some bad news. The bad news is that we had to transfer $190,797 out of our publishing sales pocket, if you will, and put it into the fellowship services account to offset the expenses of the fellowship services that we provide. That's committee budgets, that's conferences, and other fellowship services, paid staff that do the special workers' jobs that relate to fellowship services. This is a pretty good estimate. I went through the profit and loss statement a couple of times and tried to pull out all the expenses that relate to the fellowship services and separate those from the book publishing and sales component. Our finance highlights for the 2018, we had sales and contributions. I mentioned that already, that totaled $1,031,767. That's a 16% increase over 2017. We converted our accounting system from cash-based to accrual method. We replaced the chart of accounts. We established a certificate of deposit to start our prudent reserve. We presented a mid-year budget variance evaluation to the trustees. We established a part-time accounts payable position to absorbed, that's a new word, absorbed, with a T on the end, increased financial activity, and we revised where does the money go flyer. That flyer is on the next slide. This is a flyer you can download off of the WSO website. It sort of explains how a group can allocate its income. It can establish a prudent reserve. It can send leftover funds to other ACA service entities. There's some typical expenses on the flyer, as you can see. Feel free to download it on the free literature tab on the website. Steps to ensure a good financial future for the Fellowship's World Service Office: continue to develop the accounting method manual by documenting procedures, improve accounting procedures by refining the QuickBooks data, use the budget tool in QuickBooks to create a monthly report that shows actual income and expenses versus budget. And I know that Pat, our incoming treasurer, has already got that on her list of things she wants to get done. Increase the percentage of groups that contribute to the World Service Organization, because we truly, in accordance with our seventh tradition, want to be self-supporting. We don't want to rely on literature sales to support our fellowship services. We really want to be self-supporting, just like your groups and dinner groups do when you pass the basket to pay for your expenses. We want to increase fully fund a prudent reserve and set that aside so that we always have that in case of something catastrophic that happens to our book warehouse and we have to wait a while before we can get new books. So we need a prudent reserve to operate. And that brings me to the last slide. And I'd just like to say a few things. This is my last ABC as your treasurer. I'm staying on the Board of Trustees, but I'm rotating out as treasurer. 2 years was the term, and I'm handing it off to Board Trustee Pat H. Pat, please stand up. Thank you. Give Pat a big hand. When I met Pat 3 years ago or 2 years ago, whatever it was, I knew that one day she would have this position. She didn't know it yet, but I knew she would. And that's come to pass. She's a very capable financial person. Our finances are going to be in excellent hands. And I'm just so happy that she agreed to do the job. And thank you for your attention. Are there any questions from the board or delegates? Back in the back, Jody. Absolutely. The question was, will this presentation be on the conference website after the conference is over? Absolutely. Jim may have it uploaded before I sit down. I don't know. Next question. Yes, Jeannie. Jeannie, please use the microphone. Nobody can hear you that's listening in remotely.
So I think what you said last year, that we had 11% of our income come from contributions. What does the change reflect for this year, approximately?
About the same.
It is. Dang. Yeah.
But we sold a lot more books, too, so both numbers went up.
Okay, so we're still not really getting enough in contributions.
We could use more. Yes,
okay,
thank you.
Thanks.
Yes, Janice.
I'm Jan R. IG 70. I'm just wondering, since most of the revenue comes from book sales, what percentage would need to come from contributions for us to be self-supporting?
We would need 25% to 30%. Microphone over there in the back.
Christine from Connecticut 112. Given the ability to purchase books on Amazon, I'm wondering if you have an assessment as to what the effect of that has been on literature sales in the past, and whether you have any expectations as to whether that's going to have any adverse effect in the future.
Yes, we'll be covering that in the Distribution Center Operations Committee, Oversight Committee report, if we can put that off until then. Thank you.
And back.
Back in the back, yes?
A question from Christopher, New York 0203. What is the suggested breakdown of percentage of group contributions to WSO? It's been heard in other programs that it's a 60-40, or 60 to intergroups and 40 to WSO.
The suggested breakdown depends if you have a region or an intergroup between your group and WSO. If you do not have a region and you do not have an intergroup, it is 60-40 is the proposed split. 60 to your group and 40 to WSO. If you have an intergroup, then 60% of that 40% you're sending to WSO should go to the intergroup, and then the remaining 40% of that to WSO. If they'll go down and download this sheet, it has the formulas, the percentages. It's on the free literature tab on the adultchildren.org website. Adultchildren.org website. Click on the literature tab, and then there's free literature, a downloadable literature submenu. Yes, over here.
Charlie, we up front first, please.
Yeah. Edmundus, IG 606. Just a very simple question. What is under the term of owner's equity? Because it's anonymous organization, and what do you mean by owner's equity?
It's member's equity. Well, owner's equity is a term that's used in GAAP accounting, standard American accounting, but it's actually the members that own the organization. the delegates, the groups, and what we mean by equity is we mean cash in the bank, cash in all of WSO's bank accounts.
So do you mean the seventh edition several years ago that was compounded?
Well, WSO accumulates funds.
Yeah.
And we put those in our savings to have rainy day funds, so to speak, in case there's a problem. Right now, we have enough in our funds for about, based on current expenses, about a month and a half, 2 months worth of operating.
Okay.
So we try to fund that a little higher. You know, we encourage groups to go out 3 to 6 months of operating expenses for their prudent reserve. WSO should do the same thing.
Okay. Thank you.
I think Christian was next, and then, yes. Oh, it's behind Christian. Okay. Looked like his hand up.
I'm Axel from group Sweden 005. I have, I'm not versed in American accounting, but on, it says here on page two, the fourth paragraph, that the contributions of Seventh Tradition was $117,000. If I go to account 4080 on page seven, it says for the period of January through December of 2018 that the contributions of the Seventh Tradition was $29,445. Just wondering why there's a difference there.
We account for the Seventh Tradition contributions in two locations on the profit and loss statement. We account for them where you just mentioned on 4017. Did you say 4017? You said 4080, right? If you look up to 4017, you will see another 87,000. The reason we account for them in two places is really one of mechanics. The shopping cart on our website allows groups to make a contribution. That comes in through the shopping cart feed into our bookkeeping system. The Seventh Tradition contributions down in account number 4080 are those that come in to the office directly via checks, cash, money orders, PayPal payments that don't go through the shopping cart. So we needed to count for them in two places in order for our accounting program to recognize them properly. Does that answer your question? Okay.
Hi, I'm Barbara, California, 1148. What is the fully prudent reserve? What number are you looking at for that?
Well, we would say 3 to 6 months operating expenses, but we're so far from there, we've never set a number yet. Our monthly operating expenses, you know, are around $80,000, so, you know. We have a literature reserve that we dip into to buy large orders of books. We print 10,000 big books at a time, big red books. So that's a cost around $40,000 or $50,000. So we'll go into the savings and pay that invoice, and then put the money back in the savings whenever it starts coming in sales. But to have an actual prudent reserve that we don't touch, we probably only have about $100,000 in it, maybe.
Any other questions? Okay. Do I have a motion to approve?
I believe Robert's Rules of Order doesn't require a treasurer's report to be approved because you guys have no way of knowing if those numbers are correct.
That's good. I think I've heard that about 40 times. I forget it every time. I want to
thank you for the service that you've allowed me to do for you as your treasurer, and look forward to many more treasurer reports from Pat and the rest of the of you as you evolve into service.
Thanks, Bill. Thank you for your service. Okay, next we have executive committee report. That's right, Mybert doing that.
Hi there, my name is Mybert, and I'm an adult child.
Mybert.
Tjenare. I've been a vice chair for 4 years, since 2015, and I'm rotating off and handing my job over to David McBee. The executive committee is a committee of that has the officers in it, so we approve of numbers that is below $1,000. And we have to give that in a report at the ABC how these money were spent, but I'm not going to read those to you. It's really easy reading. It's about 1.5 page, so you can see that there. Page 42. But it's small amounts so that we don't have to have the whole board involved every time we make a decision. So, but we have to report it to the fellowship. That's required. So I don't have really much to say about this. So thank you for listening.
Thank you, Margaret. Okay. Next is the Literature Committee report. Charlie, oh, there you are. I'm back.
Hi, I'm Charlie H. I'm the Literature Chair. Greg, actually, I asked because I have an hour-long session on literature tomorrow to just fold today's report, to defer today's report and make it part of that tomorrow.
Okay, will do. So next up would be Finance Committee report. Do you need a break, Bill?
I'll need a break between the
we've already COC. We've got that one set for you.
Jim, could you queue up the Finance Committee report, please?
Hi again. Bet you didn't expect to see me back up here so quick. Mm-hmm. I certainly didn't. My name is Bill D, and I'm an adult child.
Hey, Bill.
As your treasurer, also the role of finance committee chair comes into that job. It's a separate committee than the treasury, and we look at all things that impact WSO financially. First slide, buddy. I'd like to recognize the committee members that are on the committee. Okay, I'm not going with that. Mary Jo L., our outgoing board chair, has been on the finance committees these past 2 years. She was the treasurer prior to that. I want to say very much what a contribution she's made to the committee and to WSO in general. So thank you very much for your continued service. We had several other people that came in on and off of the committee throughout the year as their life changed. We also had Pat H. on the committee, the incoming treasurer, and we had a woman named Lucia S. from South Florida, who, if you come to South Florida in 2020, you will meet her because she's the finance chair for the host committee. So I want to thank all of those members that dedicated weekly meetings of the finance committee. We met every week. Okay. I'm going to skip this one because I really butchered it last time. So just go right into the finance highlight. We migrated our QuickBooks accounting software to the cloud. I'll explain that more in a minute. We connected QuickBooks via third-party software to our shopping cart and to our Amazon sales channels. We prepared a 2019 budget and sent it to the board for approval. That 2019 budget is also in the Finance Committee report. It's on page 51. It starts the approved 2019 budget, so you can look through that and see what we're expecting in revenues and what we're hoping to do in expenses. We also developed a travel policy for the board and committees and sent that to the board for approval. It was approved. We recommended lowering the price for the soft cover Big Red Book, the Crosstalk, and the Good Enough Group booklets, and that was sent to the board, and it was approved. When I said a while ago that we moved the QuickBooks to the cloud, Next slide, please. Okay. What the structure was like in the beginning, we had QuickBooks, the software that does our accounting on the far right. We had an external accountant that we hired that is not an employee, but they're a contractor. And that file resided on her server. And we had the WSO treasurer, the WSO account staff, and the operations staff. And any information that we needed from QuickBooks, we had to go through her to get the report and come back out. It was very arduous and time-consuming because she's not just sitting there waiting on us to ask for reports. She's got a lot of work she's doing because she's a contractor for many organizations, not just ours. We couldn't go in and look at reports and run our own reports and things like that. So the next slide will show you what we did. We took the QuickBooks software, the QB, and we put it out in a virtual cloud. And we allowed the external accountant to have access so she could continue to do her work. We also gave access to the treasurer, myself, so that I could go in and do my own reports. We gave access to the operations staff in WSO's headquarters so that they could go in and do accounting work as well. And that relieved some of the load on the external accounting vendor. And we gave access to the operational staff so that they could look at inventories and other things. That's what we mean by moving it to the cloud. It was a big project. We had to move the data file, and it required some contractors to help us do that and set it up. Steps to ensure the WSO continues to meet the finance needs of the organization. We need to continue to respond and to meet the needs of the business side of ACAWSO to maintain our quality financial systems. We get about somewhere in the vicinity of 2,000 sales transactions a month. That's a lot of sales transactions. And when those are coming in from various locations, Amazon US, Amazon UK, Amazon Canada, Amazon Europe, and our shopping cart, instead of having to manually enter all those transactions, now they're coming in automatically. We couldn't do that while that was on the accountant's server, private server. She didn't want us to have any connecting software to her server because she had client confidential information on there. So that was another advantage. That's done now by software automatically. We need to improve our accounting function by utilizing more efficient accounting services providers and perform a comprehensive cost analysis of our operations to better allocate the cost of operating a book publishing and sales business. Thank you for your attention. Are there any questions?
Behind you.
Sort of a two-part question. Over the next, say, year to 3 years, what do you see as the biggest sort of challenges and opportunities from a financial perspective for WSO is part one. And part two is, when groups make a contribution, do they have the ability to designate what it to be spent on?
I'll take the second part first. Anyone that makes a contribution to WSO can put a memo in the contribution that they'd like to see it used for H&I, for starting new groups, for whatever. And we will put that money in the general operating fund with that caveat. And when we do that sort of work, that money is being used for that. I mean, it's not like we just have different accounts waiting for different things, but you can rest assured that if somebody says they would like to see that money go to H&I, Miles, I think I saw about 60 H&I orders in the last 2 days go out of Signal Hill. We're sending a lot of books into prisons and institutions that these people aren't paying for. That's part of the service work of giving away this program, of giving it to people that need it. So that $100 that group sent, already gone, already spent. The second part, or the first question about the challenges, I think we've got some more refining to do in our accounting system, but right now we're growing at such a rapid pace that we just need to make sure our systems can keep up with it. And the only way we can do that is by investing in our systems. So we're looking at an external accounting services provider that's a bigger company than the one that we have now, because as many of you know on the teleconference, we don't get the financial statements in enough time to have them read at the second Saturday of the month, because it takes 15 days to close out the month before now. It used to only take about a week, you know, at the most, and now it's taken 15 days because there's that many more transactions and that much more accounting to do. So just maintaining our systems and growing them, and I'm fully confident that Pat is capable of guiding us in that direction, fully confident. Over there, yes?
Benjamin, Maryland, 053. You said in your previous presentation about the option on the shopping cart where you can also do a contribution independent of whatever purchase you're going to do. I just want to know, can you do that Seventh Edition without even making a purchase? Could you just go to that shopping cart and use that as a way to do it? And could it sort of be, set up so that a group could actually make their contributions periodically to the WSO right on the website, right in the shopping cart?
If you go to the shopping cart, you saw that link Jim just clicked on. It takes you to the, you want to back up and show them again, Jim? This is the home page of the shopping cart. If you look, there is a hyperlink there. It says Seventh Edition Contribution. You can make it there by clicking on that. The next step is to select how much you want to put in. The first time I did it, I did $5, $10, and $100, and instead of just putting $150 in ones, you can put $150 in the $1. You don't have to do the 10 and the hundreds if you don't want to. So just add it to the cart, and then you can make it with a credit card, a direct, however you're paying for literature, you can make it like that.
And there is a way for you to identify your group by their number that you're saying.
Please put it in the notes. There's a note there that directs you that asks you to put in your group number, right there. Special instructions.
Got it. Thank you.
Group number. Look at that! How it magically appears. Back in the back. A remote question.
Yes, we have a question from Tony, Illinois 193. Can a group request their seventh tradition go to the literature committee?
Absolutely. Same answer as Josh's question earlier. When a group puts in their contribution, want to put special instructions in there where it should go or be used, we're mindful of that. And whenever Charlie comes to me with an invoice for the literature committee, I say, Charlie, this is coming out of this money over here. I don't really say that, but he knows it. So, yeah, you can designate your funds, but because we have one large operating account, it's kind of difficult to say, well, this is coming out for this particular thing. But we do spend the money for the programs out of the contributions. That's the whole key. Carol.
Yes, a statement, actually. If you don't put your group number there, it'll come out as anonymous. So if you want the group number to be on there so that you can... For instance, if you're the treasurer of the group and they tell you to do this, if it doesn't show up, then they say, why didn't it show up? So put your group number in there especially. Thank you.
That's a good point. In the treasurer's report, which is at the very back end, again, of the binder, there's a list of all the Seventh Tradition contributions we got last year. And if you see anonymous in there, they're either from an individual member who didn't have a group number, or they're somebody that forgot to put their group number in there. Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much for your attention.
Thanks, Bill. So, so we have a change in sequence here. So that Bill doesn't get up for the third time in just a few minutes. Aaron, can you do it in 10 minutes? Okay.
I can do it in less than 10 minutes.
Okay, great.
Okay, so delegate training subcommittee report. I'm this past year's chair of the delegate training subcommittee, and the committee members have been, if they could stand up for a second, Laura, L. Mary Jo. I don't know if she can stand at the moment. Jim R. Jody O. And Chris W., who's not actually here. Chris was just voted in as our incoming chair. Thank you. Absolutely. we are a subcommittee of the ABC committee. So as a subcommittee, that's who we report to. And what our job is to educate the delegates. So you will be getting a survey. The survey is really important because the survey tells this committee what you want more of, what you need more of in order to be prepared for being here. So we have the frequently asked questions, we have the welcome at a glance, the before, during, and after things for a delegate to know and do, and we send out more information reminding you that the ballots need to be done. That's part of your role or your secretary's role. Could go either way, but all that information has been developed for you. And so last year, what we heard was from the surveys, what we heard was that the training really helped the business meetings become more effective. So when the delegates went back to their groups, they were better able to let their group understand how a functional business meeting works. So things became better run. What we're looking at now and asking you in the survey is, will that work for your group? Do you want more education, not only as being a delegate, but for your business meetings to run appropriately? And how would you like that to be done if you would? So that's going to be really important to the survey. The survey tells this committee what to do. And as a result of that from last year, we will on Sunday be giving, Jody and I will be giving a traditions workshop that talks about the laundry list traits and business meetings and how the traditions, spiritual principles will help us with our inner child reactions when we're in those business meetings. So to help see how things run. And pretty much everything else here really speaks for itself. I think that's it. I'd just basically take any questions if there are any.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much,
Erin. That means we did a good job.
Oh, wait. Sue has question. A question.
I was trying to find my paddle. Sue V from Canada. It's CAN332. Just a couple of questions. Wonderful job, first off, on the delegate training and the delegate subcommittee.
Thank you.
And, round of applause. Yeah, that's really, really great. And I can personally speak for when I went to the 2017 ABC, it was really helpful when I brought it back to the business meetings in our fellowship, and I could see a difference. People, especially with the minority voice, people were walking away saying, you know, we disagreed, but it wasn't too bad. We lived through it. It was good. And so before then, there was some resentments when they didn't get the vote that they wanted at the time. So it's been really helpful. So I love the fact that you're doing a workshop. It's going to be taped, I assume. That's question number one.
Yes, Jim, it is.
Okay, so we can have it available for our fellowship. And I was just wondering, is there any thought in the future to do any kind of online training, like you do the delegate training? Is there any thought of doing like online training periodically through the year on business meeting training?
Yes. Charlie, did you have
Thank
a
you.
Question? Comment?
Yes, one of the really exciting things has been happening. We are a global fellowship, and as long as we can find the right time for the call, pretty much everybody around can be a part in it. One of the things that Jim B., who is our web chair, and I, we've talked about this, in addition to any training you'd be doing, Erin, is that we are looking forward to doing a system of quarterly online or telephone workshops about the full range of recovery and also the business of recovery. Our perception is that a lot of meetings operate in isolation, and sometimes even knowing how to deal with, a troublesome dynamic in the room can be hard. How to do a business meeting can be hard. And so rather than just doing these at the annual events, we can actually do things that everybody around the world can tap into at the same time. So yes, it's very much on our agenda.
And the incoming chair, Chris W., is very familiar with the technology to do that. So I'm really excited about where it's going to take us. Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Aaron. And that's pretty amazing. We're about 2.5 minutes ahead of schedule. So for lunch. We actually had a good break in the committee's reports. All right, so we'll take a break for lunch. Please be back in here by 1:15, ready to go. And we'll see you then. All right.